How are we all doing? Excellent. Are we ready to flow and grow? I'm so excited to preach this morning. And it's good to see you all. And, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I play videos, DVDs in my head. And have you seen when the guy stands in the ring with the boxer? And he says, ladies and gentlemen, it's time! And that's what I feel like this morning. It's seed time and harvest time! There we go. We've got two excited people. There we go. We'll get there eventually. Come on. And but I want to encourage you. If you don't come to the pre-service prayer meeting, you miss out 50% what's about to happen here this morning. We had guys reading scripture. We had people proclaiming what I want to preach about this morning. We had actually someone actually quoting scripture of what I'm preaching about this morning. Now, I refuse to just see that as a coincidence. And I think God is speaking. I mean, it excites my heart no end. So I could just stand up here and smile like a Cheshire cat all morning. And you might not know what's going on. But I'm like, wow. When they're praying, I'm just going, wow, wow, wow. Okay. Wow. The songs we sung this morning, we have to also understand that when we come together and we see what we're about to preach, Revelation 19:13 says that he rides a white horse, paraphrase, and the name that he is known by is the Word of God. And if you probably haven't figured out so far, the focus of this series is metamorphosis, meaning changing us. But I just want to say this as clearly as I can, church. If we do not read the Word of God, if we do not sow seed into our hearts, am I a bit loud? No? Okay, it's the World War, the metal plate in my head thing. If we do not sow the Word of God into our hearts, there is no seed time and harvest. We will function just in the natural. And we will come and we will Sunday, Monday, every other day but Sunday. We will get excited. We will jump up and down. But there will be no true fruit in our lives. And this morning I'm going to, and maybe we should do sometime into the future, a series on the parables. And this morning I want to talk about the parable of the sower and the seeds. Or the seed sower. And we want to see that we get, I wrongly assume, we all want to metamorphosize. We all want to change from the inside out. We all want to go higher and further and deeper in God. And we see everything happens in the natural. But before there's the natural and then the spiritual will come. I mean, we had a meeting here with the elders and deacons on Thursday night. I'm jet lagged from this trip to Nova Scotia, so just bear with me. I don't know how one does that, but when you do stupid hours like we did, then you do. I mean, I said to Dan, we get there, listen, we're coming to bless you, work us, dude. And he said, okay, take you at your word. We were like fish going, give us a breath here, dude. But anyway, so here we go. And I hope I'm going to get through what I have this morning. And we need to see that when things happen, and we were praying on Thursday night, and I was just sharing something with the elders and the deacons. And I said, guys, if we want the spiritual rain, the natural rain will come, and we have to step. And as I said there, boom, and we heard the rain on the roof. And I was like, it's a sign. I'm taking hold of that. And you know me, I'm not weird. I'm not flaky. But you know, when God speaks and everything starts to line up, and that's part of my job, and that's one of the giftings I have, we see a parcel. And some people just see the parcel and the wrapping. I'm able to see the parcel, the wrapping, and how you put the bow together. And that's what God, and I'm not boasting, I'm just saying that's one of the ways God's gifted me. And so sometimes when I see all this stuff coming in, I'm going, man, can anyone else see this thing lining up in the path that we have to walk? Then we get to the Red Sea and this path open. And let's go cross over here. No, can't you see these waves? Let's cross here. See, it's open. Let's go here. Seed time and harvest. We don't understand the collation between the natural things and the spiritual things because we live naturally. We have to be people of the Spirit. If you don't believe me, James 1:23, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. Many, many years ago when we were kids, and this applies to none of you, of course, it's just a funny story that popped into my head right now. We went to a zoo. My parents took me to a zoo. I was about younger than no one here. And I was little. And we went and they had this gorilla in this cage. And this gorilla had a mirror in his hand. And he just sat and he looked at the mirror the whole time we were there. And all he did was, beep, 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 beep. He was hoping something was going to, you know, this thing was going to talk. I don't know what he was hoping. I don't know the inside of a gorilla's mind. But he was a hearer of his own voice and he wasn't a doer. And he stared intently into this mirror. I'm not shouting. I'm excited. I'm happy. 1 Corinthians 15:44. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. There are things that can only be discerned by those that are of the Spirit. NIV puts it a little bit differently, but the same message. 1 Corinthians 15:46. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. So it wasn't a crazy idea I just dreamed up by myself. Always need to go to the Word of God. Turn with me, if you haven't, to Mark chapter 4, please. Now I know that if you look in your Bible, you'll see in the Synoptic Gospels that you will see that this parable is told many times. At least four times anyway, and different views of it. But I want us to look at Mark 4:1-9. We're going to read it. We're going to read quite a lot of scripture this morning. As always, I like to base everything about the parable. When we understand it, shows that the kingdom, so don't put a heavy on yourselves now, but you should see yourself somewhere in all of this, as varying degrees of effect on people. Kevin preached last week a great message. Proceed, process, and promise. And this is just, he laid the platform for me to be able to preach today on there is a process. And we don't get, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So, let's read. Again, verse 1. He began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it, and on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, Kevin. A sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seed fell along the path. Underline the path. And the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So the question is, of course, you want to ask me, well, what is the definition of a parable? I'm so glad you asked. Communicating a truth through a narrative analogy to teach a spiritual lesson, or a short allegorical story designed to illustrate or teach some truth, religious principle, or moral lesson. What is a parable? The parable is about the kingdom. Parables are an invitation to experience the kingdom. Parables reveal the difference between the saved and the lost. Parables are mysteries within a riddle, within a poem, within an enigma. Parables, this is the interesting part, because when we sometimes, I know in the beginning when I first used to read parables, I was like, what was he on about? Yeah, because I was a kind of soil, not a kind of seed. Parables were stories to pique people's curiosity about the kingdom because they were not ready to hear about the kingdom of God. Their hearts are hardened, their minds are dull, their ears were not open to it, their eyes were spiritually blinded. I wished you'd been in the pre-service prayer meeting this morning. Oh yeah. So let's go to Mark chapter 4 verse 10. And we're going to read through to 13. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Of course, we want to know, well, why has only some got the secret and others haven't? Well, that's not right. Surely the unsaved people should have the secrets and us who are enlightened shouldn't. That's not the way God does things. And he said to them, to you have been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that, and then he quotes from a prophet, Isaiah chapter 6, they may indeed see, but not perceive, and they may indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. Now we want everyone to turn and be forgiven. I just want to read the same piece of scripture. You don't have to turn there with me. But from Matthew, puts a little bit of a different. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For though to the one who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull. The word there is pakuno, which means that they have a layer upon a layer of a process of dulling. I'll explain more later. And with their ears they barely hear, and with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and I would heal them. When we get to the bottom there, just to cut a long story short, the point Jesus is making here is in essence that people need to be inquirers of God's Word. And we know people emotionally get wrapped up and they get saved in that emotion, and Monday they go, well, they think they get saved but they don't, because they said the prayer, they walked the aisle, they shake their hand, but they never had a change of heart. Means they are not saved. You can pray, you can say something in sincerity. Do you know that? Oh, I love you, or we care for you, and then don't do anything about it. Well, that's not love and that's not care. You know what the message says? I love the way the message puts it. Somewhere. Just think about it. What does this sound like? Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes up and shut them tight so they won't have to look, so they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. I don't want to see, I don't want to talk, just leave me alone, I've got my own space. Immature babes, children. And God is saying, if you understand, if I'll teach you this, if you know the Word of God, if you have the seed of God inside of you, and if we don't have the seed of God, you both know, but the seed is the Word of God. Let me just say that clearly. The seed is the Word of God, and we don't have the Word of God in us. If we don't carry this sword with us, if we don't have it meditating and mulching in our hearts, no fruit will come. Because even metamorphosis is not osmosis. I remember I explained to you when the butterfly comes out of the cocoon, they have to fight their way out. And if we try and help them, they will die. Because the life doesn't get to the wings and this beautiful butterfly can't fly, it will die. And we think we're going to help some people and come along. And the Lord is saying, don't help them. Let them inquire. Where's Sean not here today? That's what I love about Sean. Some of you don't know his testimony, but Sean came in a broken man into this body. And he came and we sat with him and we spoke to him and he questioned about the word. And why is this so? And why is that so? And how does that work? And of course, Sean, don't anyone give your life to Jesus? No. Well, what about this, Sean? What about that? And then he'd come and question. And after I'd preach, he'd come in and he'd say, well, what about this and what about that? And then one day came and said, I want to give my life to Jesus. And he's never, ever looked back. Why? Because he dug down and he questioned. You know, don't question for the sake of being, if I can be so bold, don't be an idiot. You know, don't just like, you know, well, I'm just going to question everything. Well, no, then your heart is wrong, and that's the point I'm coming to today. He had an inquiring mind. He was like the Bereans. He wanted to know so that when he made a qualified decision to follow Jesus, it wasn't based on emotion and great worship and Kevin crooning and leading us into, or anyone preaching up here and giving, oh, and then he ran down the aisle and fell at the aisle and, oh. I hope you don't think I'm being too cynical this morning. I'm not. I'm trying to help you. We see it says it's a slow process, because in the King James Version, when we talk about the dull heart, it says, for this people's heart is waxed gross. Now, of course, we have a different meaning for word gross. Yeah? But what the point that we're making is that, you know, when you, in the old days when they made candles, they hang the wick on a wire, and they heat the wax up, and then they put the wick into the wire, into the wax, and they pull it out, and it gets cold, and there's a layer of wax in it. Then you dip it again, and you bring it out, and this candle goes like this. And that's sometimes what our hearts are like. Our hearts have waxed gross. We have layer and layer upon our hearts of hardness, that when the word comes, we don't receive it. So God has given us some keys to actually deal with this. So what are the keys? Mark 4:13, and He said to them, this is very interesting. We need to pay attention to this. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? This is a key to the parables. If we don't get this one, the Bible says, we're never going to get the rest of them. The second one is 1 John 2:20, but you have been anointed by the Holy One and you all have knowledge. When we come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He brings grace and truth as we know. The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And all we have to do is sit down and say, Holy Spirit, this word I'm about to read, reveal the intention for me. But we like go quickly in the washroom, you know, on the throne room. Quickly, okay, I've done my bit for today. And that's what I was sharing with the elders and deacons on Thursday night. So, you want to be healed? You want to be healed? Yeah, okay, I know how to get healed. Isaiah 54 says, by His stripes we are healed. There we go. I know it. It's not enough. We need to take the Word of God and we need to mulch in it, meditate on it, pray into it, think about it, understand it, get it into our hearts so that we don't sort of... Best example I'll give you, we had a wonderful guy in South Africa, and he used to carry scriptures around in his pocket. And if you had any issue, off the top of his head, he could quote scripture. But that was the problem. It was just off the top of his head. It was never down here. And we need to get it from here down to here. It's not about how intellectual you are, not about how smart you are. Paul was the only smart one. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, learned beyond years. Top student of Gamaliel. The rest of the boys were fishermen and carpenters. Oh, sorry, Luke the doctor. And Matthew the tax collector. Money, money, money. Sorry. Okay. What we need to understand is when we have the key, naughty, when we have the key to understand the parables, then the Word of God opens up to us. It's like the Rosetta Stone, founded in 1801 at a place called Rosetta. Up until that time, Egyptian hieroglyphics was exactly that, hieroglyphics. No one could read it. They didn't know how to read it. But then they found the Rosetta Stone, and on the Rosetta Stone they had hieroglyphics. They had a script then called Demotic, which later years became Latin, and they had Greek. So they knew Greek, and they realized this was the same message three times. So the Greek became the key to the hieroglyphics, and now we're all smart because the scientists now could all read the hieroglyphics, and yay, we're smart now. No, but if they didn't have the key, and I'm giving you the key this morning to help you to understand this parable this morning. Understand that the Holy Spirit, get that word into you, will lead you into all truth and reveal God's truth to you. It's a key to unlock. The Holy Spirit has given us to decode the parables, if you want to put it that way. And shift from normal natural stories into spiritual. Because in the moment we're looking at this one, the sower of seeds, it's a natural story. It's about a farmer who goes out and sows seed. Oh, and it's a nice story. And some seed fell, yeah, and some seed fell, and some da da. And we go, oh, okay. But the spiritual aspect hasn't been revealed to us. Holy Spirit wants to reveal it to us. When we understand the Word of God and mulch, meditate, marinate in the Word of God, it becomes, oh, yeah. I told you about the friend of mine, 6 months, came. Oh, Mark, I got this revelation. 6 months, I've been feeding him. And one day the seed burst in him, boom. And he came and he had this new revelation. And there's seed time and harvest. It's not osmosis. How disappointed would you be if you put seed in the ground? How disappointed would you be if no seed came up? That is just as ridiculous as if we don't read the Word of God and we go, I know it all. Or we think we know it all. Jesus' parables uses natural to bring to spiritual life. The seed in the ground won't just morph into something. What we get from the seed is that it morphs inside of us, and then we can speak it boldly. And when the enemy comes and says, let's do this, you go, that's not what the Word of God says. Sometimes we go, I'm not sure what the Word of God says. I don't know how to do it. What should we do? How do we do that? But if we just took it, and I know, how many of you, no, don't put up your hands. How many of you said, I'm going to read the Bible through in a year and get it done, and you get into day 3 or day 4, and then we fall off the wagon, as it were, and we don't get there. And then next year, you wait till this January again. How are we going to do it again? And then we fall off the wagon. And by now, 5 years have gone past, and just think, you could have read the Bible through 5 times by now. Stay true to it. It's a crazy notion to think that if you don't put seed in the ground, you're going to get a harvest. In anything. And this morning, I'm talking about the Word of God. That's number one. And you can take it into everything. In business, if you don't work hard, you're not going to get recognized. Unless you own your own business, of course you'll recognize yourself and give yourself a fat bonus and a fat increase. You'll get a certificate and put a best employee of the month. I've been to Frank's office, you must say. I'm only joking. I'm joking. We need to understand that we have to plant the seed if we want the harvest. The question is, what harvest do you want? And that goes through your career, finances, business, the Word of God. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for 30 years. Okay, turn to the book of Ezra. New Testament, Old Testament? Ooh. I'm trying. Yeah, cool. Good. Good We want to receive a spiritual harvest where we haven't planted. I want to know the Word of God. I want to. You know, my mother used to say to me, Mommy, I want to. She'd say, spit in one hand, want in the other, and see which one fills up first, my boy. Matthew 8:16. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. I'm not in the Word. I don't understand the Word. But I want everything to go right in my life. Let me tell you, anyone who preached your gospel and said, come to Jesus and everything's going to be cool. Lied. They told you, they sold you a bill of goods. It says, and you'll have persecution in this life. And glory in the others. And it ends off with, and persecution in this life. We give up mother and father, and you know that scripture. And we get to the part where, I feel so good, and we don't want to have this part where, and we're going to have persecution stuff. Now let's just take an eraser, and just a marker, you know, mark that out. Because that's not a feel-good scripture. Things are not working in my life. My marriage is a mess. My finances are a mess. I'm a mess. My children are a mess. My wife especially is a mess. And my husband especially, he's a mess. My job's not going well. I have bad attitude. What seed are you sowing? What word have you got that you've written down, that you're standing on, that you're believing? Do you have any, or we just, I'm a Christian now, so it's all going to happen. That's like saying, I got called to go to the tryouts, and dude, I'm in the team. No, you're not. You just got to go to the tryouts. I had a friend many years ago in South Africa. He was a great tennis player, and he decided he wanted to go to Wimbledon, and in those days, John McEnroe was the reigning champion. And he set his goal to make it to the final. You know what? He made it to the final. He got beaten. And I said, dude, how about I want to win Wimbledon? Oh, yeah, no, didn't think of that. The seed he was sowing for himself was to get to the final. And he did it. And everyone, yay! His name was Kevin Curran. Go and check it out. He was at school with me. Kevin, from South Africa, made it into the Wimbledon final. He lost. What happened? Oh, I don't know. He was better than me. No. Did you think about actual fact, I want to get into the final, and I want to win Wimbledon. I see myself standing up with that trophy. I see that thing in my hand. I'm not like, we'll just do positive thinking. Don't walk out of here and say that. We got to sow the right seed to get the Word of God in us. I'm stressing a point here, and I'm probably, oh my word. I know, but then when at 3 o'clock you're going to say, oh, worry. Hey, listen, we can't. You're allowed to banter with me. I'm okay. God's Word is seed to our hearts. We must purpose to open our hearts to the Word of God, was prayed this morning. A farmer can't plant his seed 1 week from harvest and then think it's going to happen. I tell you, you're going to have a hole in your bank balance because that seed ain't coming up at harvest time. Natural fact. Why do we think in the spiritual it's different? Because we're like, praise Jesus. La la land. We're not of this world, but we have to live in this world. And when we think, as I've said so many times, when we don't think sin conscious, we've got to think righteous conscious. Then we don't think in the natural. We think in the spiritual. But if we don't have the Word, the seed in our hearts, we can't do this. Have I made the point? The seed that produces, not the ground or the soil. It's the seed that produces, not the ground or the soil. The soil, in actual fact, of the ground can hinder the germination and the growth of the seed. Ooh. Our hearts can't produce the harvest. Our hearts are the recipients of the seed, and it is then when the seed germinates. 1 Peter 1:23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this is the word of the good news that was preached to you. Our hearts can faint, our hearts can be hardened, our hearts can be upbeat, downbeat, roundbeat, any other kind of beat, beat, bop, bop, beat. Our hearts can do all of that stuff. The seed remains the same. And when we put that seed into that heart, it's what will happen. You see, Mark, how did you get... I'm going to take another 10 or 15 minutes this morning because I really want to finish this. So, hold on, put your seatbelts on. All the seed is the same. It's not different seed. And you know what? All we are here when we leave and we go out of here are seed dispensers. And if you see the original picture of Jesus sowing the seed, in the old days they did not have furrows. They didn't lay furrows and put the seed in the furrows. They just walked and they just scattered it this like this. While I was preparing this morning, I felt the Lord said, tell the church to stand up and hold their basket like this and do this. And I thought, God, they're going to think I'm nuts. Come on. Come on. Dispense some seed. Come on. All of us together, let's do this. I know, feel foolish in front of each other. Come on. Come on. Let's... Okay. Sit down. Was that embarrassing? Okay. So number one. Oh, well. Slide number seven, actually. Point number one. That was just the introduction, guys. There are hard pathway hearts. Purpose to open your hearts. Mark 4:15. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Hardened hearts. At one time or another, you all, including me, us all, let me say, all had hard hearts. And some of you perhaps still have hard hearts. Because sometimes we're not even having walked out the back door, taking your first sip of coffee and said, so, what did Mark preach on? I don't know. What did it mean to you? I don't know. And you know what? Go to the next person and say, so what happened this morning? What did he preach on? He preached on... Very good. The cross. What? You know, I've told you, I preach four sermons. The one I prepare, the one I deliver, the one you hear, and the one you go and tell others about. It's all the same seed. Don't tell me I'm not being fed. I don't get it. It's boring. I know I'm not boring. I might be many things. If I spoke like this and said that we all got to be happy for Jesus, I could understand. But when I'm telling you, we got to be happy for Jesus. I'm not boring. I know that. So don't blame the seed dispenser. Because it's the condition of our heart that receives the seed that's the issue. And I can tell you, I went being an elder in a church, preaching, got to the point where I thought the lead guy had lost his brain, And you know that I'm a prolific note taker. I will take notes for anybody who preaches because I just think it's respectful for me, and I like to do it so I can go and reflect on it. So I decided he can't teach me anything more. So I put my notebook aside and just took my Bible and turned to the Yaka and let him preach. And I went on like that for 6 months. And you know what? After 6 months I felt this thing here was getting cold and hard. And I realized how disrespectful and dishonoring I was to my lead pastor. I went and I asked for his forgiveness. And in the meantime, I was frustrated because I wanted to go and plant a church. And he would say, I still need you here. And for 2 years, I said, yes, I'm here for you. And after 2 years, I said, I want to go and do this thing now. I'm tired. I want to go. I'm getting older. My clock is marching on. You know, when I went and apologized and repented before him and said, dude, I'm sorry, and pulled out my notebook, 6 months later, we were released to go and come to Canada. I was sowing bad, bad, bad seed. I was sowing bad seed and I was reaping the crop of that bad, bad seed. I was miserable. I wasn't a honey. I wasn't happy to live with. I was always frustrated. I was always moaning. I was blaming the seed dispenser and he's got nothing else to teach me. I realized what a fool I was. Anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. Immediately, hard paths. This is a pathway that has been trodden on. Many people have walked this way before. And the ground has been trodden hard upon it. So when the seed dispenser comes and throws the seed, there's nothing for it to go into. And it says Satan or the birds of the air come and they just pick, pick, pick and they eat. And they walk behind you as you're getting the thing and it's just landing on the seed and it's landing on the floor. And your heart is so hard that you're not getting anything. You don't let anything in. And you go out and you can give yourself a million reasons why. Do you know this kind of heart is the one that the devil has the most direct access to? Because before the seed even germinates or takes root in you, he snatches it away from you. And you go, well, what happened in church on Sunday? Well, oh, I don't know. Did you go? Yeah. How was it? No, it was great. Coffee was okay. How's your life changed? I want to say to you, and this applies to me, if you've been here for 6 months or more, and your life hasn't changed, step back and take another look in the mirror. We cannot remain where we're saying. If we are praying and I want to, who wants to metamorphosize? Yes, me! Feet up too. Who wants change? Me. Who wants more with Jesus? Me. Who wants more with God? Me. Who wants more of Holy Spirit? Me. Who wants to walk in the supernatural? Me. Who wants to pray for people that get out of wheelchairs? Me. Who wants to pray for the deaf they will see? Me. And 6 months later, you still, what happened? Hard pathway heart. Matthew 13:19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the pathway. There are people who starve to death with the word of God in their mouth because they haven't learned to chew on it and swallow the word of God. I preached a sermon many years ago, Feed Me Daddy, Burp. Because we just fed. And we don't give it out. We don't dispense the seed. So what happens? I'm so full of the seed. But some people haven't learned to chew on it and meditate on it. And it's sitting in my mouth and I'm starving to death. Learn to swallow the Word of God. Take hold of it. Even if it's only just one scripture, meditate on it. What do you mean by this, God? What are you saying to me about this, God? We must remember it's the same seed but different heart conditions. Something God can't do. He cannot prepare your heart. Oh Lord, prepare my heart. God can't do that. We pray, it sounds good. That's good philosophy, it's not good Bible. Lord, make me a better man. Lord, make me a better wife. God cannot do that for us. We've got to do it ourselves. This is just truth, people. Don't go quiet on me. You're supposed to say, amen, hallelujah. There we go. We make me, make me, make me. If God came along and made some of us what He wanted to make some of us, I don't like this. A friend of mine was in financial debt. And he said, I'm going to pray a serious prayer to God. I said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to pray that God will get me out of debt. I said, sounds reasonable. So he prayed. Him and his wife sat down. They prayed, Lord, please get us out of debt. For about 2 or 3 nights in a row. Went to work on the Friday. The guy handed him a slip. Says, we don't require your services any longer. God, were you paying attention? God said, yeah, I was, my boy. He says, and because we don't require, we're giving you a payout. And the payout paid off all his debt. Brian Hopf. Husband and wife, Brian and Lillian Hopf. And they were embarking on leading a church. And then he had this payout, was paid off all his debt, and then he had 3 months' worth of salary, so they collected. Oh Lord, give me a job! The last day, the last hour, the last minute, Mr. Hopf, we have a job for you. Will you please come down and see us? Be careful when you pray, Lord, make me. Because sometimes He will take you at word, but in general, we have to do it ourselves. Just remember, same seed, different heart condition. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Psalm 19:10. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and dripping off the honeycomb. Remember the message I preached, honey in my belly? So that's the first pathway, the hard pathway, where our hearts have been hardened. That's why Jesus said the mysteries have been given, the secrets have given, because these people, if you go and read Isaiah chapter 6 and the whole prophecy there, and what Isaiah is prophesying, he's talking about hardening their hearts so there will come a day when they will turn to Him and they will be saved and they will be healed. And when our hearts are hardened, all that happens is that our hearts become hard. And the Lord leaves us. It's the same in Scripture when you read about, and they go and they said to Him, well, what should we do? He said, turn him over to Satan. You can't do that. How can you turn anyone over to Satan? And the point was, let him go. Don't mollycoddle. Don't force feed the guy. Just say, okay, you want to make the decision, then there you go. And the point of it was, if you read the Scripture, was that his heart would turn and come back. And we want to be kinder than Jesus all the time. Sometimes we need discernment. Mostly we need the seed. Okay, second one. Rocky road hearts. Mark 4:16-17. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, and some Bibles say stony ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, interesting word, immediately they fall away. Luke 8:13. But these have no root. They believe for a while, in time of testing, fall away. Those are the stony ground, where the seed falls into our hearts, and it gets there, but there's no real root system. You know that sometimes plants can grow, and they grow up quickly, and they shoot up, and they look great. And we hula, hallelujah, way, look at me, I'm at every single meeting, and I'm here, and I'm going for Jesus. How many were like this when you got saved? And then I was. And then we're going for Jesus and everything's going good. And I'm like, yeah, look at me, I'm a big plant. No roots. I told you, I went and I decided, I'm going to study the book of Revelation because that's where it's all at. 10 minutes in. Okay, hard, don't understand this. Close this thing, put that away. Because why? I wanted to go to the 33rd floor, but I didn't even know what was in the basement yet. Well, because you want to see spiritual, come on. Arthur Murray, yeah. The minutes of tribulation, problems come. Yeah, you call yourself a Christian. We do the Peter thing. Wasn't me, wasn't there. I didn't go, don't know. Persecution arise on account of the word. Immediately, they fall away. They are all show, no go. Receive it with gladness. We get excited. No root system to sustain life. The word of God cannot be microwaved. We cannot eat 2 minutes. It's good for everything else, microwave. Not for the word of God. It's seed time and harvest. No solid good root. You will be uprooted and blown about. Ephesians 4:14. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro from the wave and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Run around like every child. Oh, this is the latest move of God. Here we are. Man, you don't even know those people. You're going, well, they look good. Tell you, we had it in South Africa. I know Toronto had it. Everything looked good. Not that it wasn't good, but it looked good. And then because it looked good, we had people coming into the meetings, and then the flesh rose up, and people were running around clucking like chickens and barking like dogs. Douche. I was telling someone the other day, we had the special room off to the side, like this. It was just a room. And if we saw anybody freaking out, and we just discerned this wasn't of God, we would take them quietly. Put them in the room, close the door. Why? Because if it's of God, they'll stay there, they'll carry on. God will work in their hearts, God will fix them, whatever needs to be fixed. But if it was flesh, the door would open, they'd come back out again. Take them back quietly. And the ones that it was of God stayed in the room because they didn't care where they were. They were having experience with the Father. And sometimes it can get a little bit distracting. We had one girl came up the front, fell down and was spinning on her shoulder like a top. The one guy said, oh, look at the Spirit of God. I said, Spirit of God, nothing, demon, get out of this woman. She fell on the floor. Doof. What happened here? We have to discern. We want to be spiritual beings having a human experience. We want to be in the Spirit. But we have to engage. We sung that song when I can't remember it, but the words came and my sin met God's grace. And when we get into that place, we've got to just engage. You can't not engage. You can sit and be spectators in worship time. That's good. Oh, kids doing funny stuff. No, that's good. It's wonderful. Or we can engage. Allow the Spirit of God to flow out of us. Let me say it clearly because some of you might not believe me. I have no issue with the Spirit of God moving in amongst us and people waving flags and dancing and lying on the floor and crying and weeping and laughing and the Spirit working in their hearts. What the issue becomes is when you never grow up. We never mature. It's always the same people every other week. Are they ever going to grow up? I used to be one of those people. But I'd like to think that I've matured a little bit. Not that the Spirit can't come and put me on my face. Please don't hear me not say that. That's nothing what I wanted to preach about today. But anyway, it's a good point. Let's just move on because time is fleeting. Thorny, choked hearts. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, But cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. The word received with gladness and joy. They've heard enough word. They know enough word. Again, just live experience. Friend in South Africa. See, I keep saying South Africa because I know there's no one here like that, so I have to use them. And he was like, oh man, Mark, you cannot believe God is blessing me in my business. How's he blessing? Dude, the contracts I'm getting are so big, I don't know what to do with them. There's so much money, everything. I'm saying, praise God. Hey Mark, you won't believe what I bought her. I said, what'd you buy? He said, I bought a caravan. I said, that's amazing, man. Yeah, a caravan and a trailer. The next, you know what I bought now? I said, what? He says, a boat. It's amazing, eh? Wow. Next Sunday. 6 months. Mark, you won't believe what happened. So I lost everything. Really? Oh, nice to see you, bud. How can I help you? How can we pray? We must honor God. He's not like Chop Change Daddy. Excuse me, I got a bit of a cold and I have a... Thank you. Don't allow ourselves to be distracted. Take the word of God. There are enough distractions today. It's more media, more news articles, more blogs, more tweets, more TV, more Facebook, more Xbox, more PSP, more everything else. Unfortunately, some of our kids today, if you try and have a conversation with them, you can't. Hi, how are you? What's going on? Facebook. My life. Facebook. It's addictive, trust me. Ask Bridget, myself, and Louise. When we first got our first computer, the first game that came out was Tetris. Anyone ever played Tetris? They did a study and said it was the most adult, addictive game ever made. Well, we could testify to that. Because Louise was still in school, so she could go from 9 till 10. Then Bridget would go 10 to midnight, and I'll go from midnight till 2 in the morning. Yeah, and then still get up at 5 and go to work and do an 18-hour day. Come home. Why have you got those blocked look in your eyes? Tetris. Tetris. Our busyness also comes from the cares of the world that preoccupy our mind and our time. The Bible says it's given us everything for godliness and for life. We just have to find the radical middle in that kind of stuff. Do not allow the cares of the world to come up and choke you. Do not allow the cares of the world. So because if we don't know the word, if we don't know the seed, if the seed is not in us, then the cares will attack us because we don't know the answers. Okay, let's just do the last one. Good ground hearts. Mark 4:20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And again, I've said, everything is a progress and is progressive. When we eventually get it, we'll produce 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Our cry should be well that we want to produce because we want more of God. Because we want more of His Word. And you know what it is? Well, Michael's better at this than me because he's more gifted than me. He has more talent than me. He has more charismatic more than me. Do you know that that's not applicable here? Because the ground is either hard ground, rocky ground, thorny ground, or good ground. And that doesn't mean you have to be smarter. It's the same seed going in. And that's why I said, don't blame the dispenser. What is the condition of your heart? Of our heart? What is the condition of my heart? We have it wrong. Because we think if you've got more, then you'll receive the word of God more and then you'll give more. No. It's all about having less in the kingdom. Wow, that should set some of you free. You mean I don't have to have all the gifts and talents and be so charismatic. No, you don't. You just got to have good ground for the seed to work in, that you can go and produce after yourself. But I can't preach like Kevin. Well, because maybe you were never called to preach like Kevin. I can't meet people and talk to people, me personally, like Bridget does. Because God has gifted her differently. We all have gifts. But it's less instead of more in the kingdom of God. Because God can use us when we have less. And it's about His word and Him. And our focus is on Him, not on me. And how I will flag fly and how I will be smart with no root system. Whew. Remember, the ground is your heart, and it's we who make our heart fertile for the seed. I have a hard heart, God, make my heart soft. I just picture this. Again, DVD in my head. I just picture this big fist coming out of the sky. Boom! Soft now. Or if you want a heart like mine, let me just squeeze a little bit so that you feel the pain of the kid with no food. You feel the pain of the families in Boston today. No, God, that's not a good idea. I don't want to feel that. Okay, then maybe you make your heart fertile. Okay, quickly, lessons. The seed is the word of God. The seed is not the issue. The ground is soil or our hearts. This is the issue. There are four types of ground, hearts expressed in this parable. I'm not going to go over them, I've really gone way over time. This parable reveals progressive or increasing stages. Last one. Take heart. Let us all take heart out of this parable today. Mark 4:20, he said to them, "The kingdom of God," this is the second parable, of course, "and as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain, progressive, in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. My son," Proverbs 4:20, "be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh." Scientists took a seed, dissected it, bisected it, trisected it, made a generic type seed, put it in the ground. Watered it. Didn't grow. Other scientists took seeds they'd found in pyramids thousands of years ago. Took them in the ground, watered them. We do not know how this thing works. Many things we can take and we can create our generic from it. The Word of God is not generic. It is life to us. And when we plant it in our hearts and we allow it to grow and to be watered, we will produce 30, 60, 100-fold. But if we remain on the hard path, if we remain on the rocky ground, if we remain in the thorny ground, the distractions of this world, it will not produce in our lives. Take the word of God. We don't have to have mental assent. We don't have to have the intellect of, if I put in 30 words into my heart and I pray. We don't have to understand how it goes. But we know that it's progressive. And we know we all started somewhere on the heart path. Because we didn't want to know about Jesus. We didn't want to know about His word. And so it is progressive. And if you find yourself on this journey, encourage yourself in the Lord like David did. Get hold of the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible reading plan, I'll give you one. I'll show you how to read the Word of God. This is life. Jesus, Revelation 19:13, is the Word of God. He is life. And He wants us to have it abundantly. Thank you for your time this morning. Father God, we come. Let's stand together. Can I be as bold as to say, if you don't bring this to church, stop being lazy. Pick it up off the shelf. I know you're going to probably have to dust it. When it's all done and dusted, it's love to us. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us your Word, your book, your person of Jesus Christ, the Word of life, Lord. And Father God, we ask that we would take this seed, we would put it into good ground soil. We prepare our hearts to be fertile to your Word, Lord. We ask, Lord God, that you would, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, allow us to germinate this thing to be resurrected. Give us a deeper love for your Word. Give us a love, Lord God, for every word written in this book. Give us a love for a deeper love for your Son, Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are our good Father. Blessed be your name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.